Let's just open in prayer. Father, thank you that you spoke and there was light. You have caused your light to shine in our hearts now, to reveal Jesus to us so that we can see him clearly and see the truth. And we're coming out of darkness into light, Lord. The darkness is passing and the true light's already shining. So help us to see clear, O God. Help us to cling to your word. Because you are the fountain of life. You are the source of life. And your words are spirit and life. Help us to cling to your words, Lord, and to not, like the people in the story, have tickling ears that like to hear the sound of our own voice, the counsel of our own minds, the wisdom of the world. So we're just coming to you this morning, God, and there's a verse in my heart, Lord, which is that anybody who comes to you must believe that you are and that you are a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek you. So that's my prayer this morning, God, is that we would come with our hearts in that place to seek you and to believe that you reward those who do so. So come and speak to us this morning, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna just hopefully finish Colossians 2, and I think we will. But I'm going to read a few verses first from Proverbs 2. And I'm going to read a few verses from Proverbs. So if you'd like to go to Proverbs 2, we'll start at verse 1. And we'll just maybe read the first 5. That'll give us the gist. So, Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And it continues in that vein. But the thing I wanted us to just grab from that is there's all these actions in those verses. Receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice, seek, search. So this is an active thing for us. This is something we have to do. We are on a quest for truth. We're on a quest for wisdom because we don't have it. That means we don't have it. If we're not seeking something we already have, so we're growing. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's understanding. The fear of the Lord is understanding. And there's another verse that I wanted to read. This is the fear of the Lord talking in chapter 8. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I'm just skipping through a few verses in Proverbs here. And there's a verse I want to read. I'm going to read it twice because it appears twice in two chapters, which is important. And that's Proverbs 14, verse 12. And this is what it says. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's 14, verse 12. I'm going to read it. Proverbs 16, verse 25. It's the same verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's a very, 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 very powerful verse for me. It's one of my key scriptures because I understand that there's this wisdom, there's this way that seems right. And the first time we see it is in Genesis 3, when the serpent's whispering to Eve, And she reasons in her heart, and she perceived that the tree was good to eat, good to make one wise, and she just analyzed the situation and lived by sight and not by faith in what God had said, and it seemed right to her in her own wisdom. And that's what happens when we depart from God's word and we depart from what God has said. Yes. Okay, we'll jump to Colossians. Because that's what we've been reading about in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I don't know what your headings are. Maybe if somebody else has a different Bible than New King James. But chapter 2, the heading at the top is not philosophy but Christ. Does anybody have anything different in their Bible? No, same one. And then halfway through the chapter it says, not legalism but Christ. And Paul is labouring the point here that there's different frameworks that we can live in, but in verse 3 it says that in Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. And so it's not in philosophy. And in the day he's talking to Stoicism and Epicureanism, but it's absolutely true to us too. If there's a mindset, if there's a worldly wisdom, if there's a psychology, a philosophy that is telling us something apart from who we are in Christ, it is deception. That's how simple it is. So we can't allow any other wisdom, any other philosophy to trick us and cheat us and draw us away from what we have in Christ. Because his wisdom is a tree of life. It also says that in Proverbs. So that's what we've been talking about. And in verse 6 it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. And there's a verse in Ephesians 4 that says, you've not so learned Christ as the truth is in Christ. And that's a phrase that's been really big for me. As the truth is in Christ. The truth is in Christ. The truth is in Christ. We're going to learn later on in chapter 3 that we died to this life and our life is hidden in Christ. So if it's all this in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we need to know who we are in Christ. Are you with me? Okay, so the final verse where we got up to was about how he disarmed principalities, that's verse 15, and he made a public spectacle over them. We've been made alive with him, his circumcision, the cutting away of our sinful nature. And because all of this is true, because wisdom is found in him, not in false humility, not in religion, not in legalism, not in philosophy, because wisdom is found in him. It goes on and it says, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Verse 17 says, which are a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come is a foreshadow. It means that it is a physical reality that is actually, it's actually a foreshadowing of a greater spiritual reality. And we talked about that the week before, when I talked about the Jesus' priestly ministry and about the Levitical priesthood being a foreshadowing of the ministry of Christ and everything that he's achieved in the true tabernacle, not made with hands, the spiritual tabernacle. So the point here is that we're not, I've written in my column, don't get religious, be a believer. We're not observing certain days to earn or attain a level of righteousness. The truth is in Christ. The substance is of Christ. So we can learn great things from all these feasts. We can learn great things from the Sabbath. But let's not forget, Jesus brought the rest of God. He's the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And we're striving to enter into his rest. Because there's a day of rest that's been there since the creation. It talks about it in Hebrews 3 and 4, but we can't get into it. Let no one cheat you of your reward. And, you know, there's that phrase again. Let no one judge you. Let no one cheat you. Judge means condemn. And it says let no one.
Oh, yeah. It, beguile is cheat. It means defraud.
Defraud. But the word before in verse 16 is judge. Let no one judge you. No one condemn you is what that means. Regarding keeping of certain days. Regarding observing things that they feel need to be done. So it says let no one, but I just wanted to throw out that it's not just no one, it's no thing. It's not just like somebody's going to come up to you and try and necessarily cheat you out of your reward in Christ, but there's a mindset on the earth that is trying to cheat us out of what God has said. Does that make sense? So that's what Satan did to Eve. If you read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says that I fear for you that just as the serpent deceived Eve, so also your minds might be drawn away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And if you look into those, the words there, the Greek words where it says that the serpent deceived Eve by his subtlety, trickery, sophistry, which is actually where sophisticated comes from. And it's the use of clever sounding but false arguments with intent to deceive. There's a wisdom on the earth that just comes through Satan. And it's not necessarily that someone's always going to be there whispering that in your ear or literally standing in front of you, trying to bring you into false humility, trying to talk you out of the gospel. But your own mind is the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. When we don't live by faith, when we don't look at the truth as it is in Christ, when we don't press in to believe and grow in faith, our own minds are working totally against the gospel. And it doesn't take long before condemnation seems right, shame seems right, false humility seems right. We have to feed on the words of life, fill our heart with the truth. It's the only way. So let no one, nothing, cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And that's what I'm talking about. It's when your mind just starts running and talking you out of the truth in Christ. If the Bible says that you're forgiven, if it says that you're righteous, if it says that you're holy and blameless and above reproach, if it says you're a son, if it says that you have a purpose, if it says that Jesus isn't ashamed to call you his friend, he's not ashamed to call you brothers, then that's the truth. And we've got to cling to that and let our hearts grow in that stuff. Because that's the truth. The truth is in Christ. And it's any other wisdom, any other thing, somebody claiming to have seen things. Even if we seemingly have a vision or a dream, we need to test it with Scripture. We need to test it because if it's leading us away from the truth, it doesn't matter how real it seemed, we're not living by experience, we're living by faith. That doesn't mean you can't have dreams that are true, but it's just a caution. There's intruding. It says here, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And the two points that I wanted to really highlight in here is that false humility is a big one. False humility is, well, I'm not worthy. False humility is backing away from forgiveness, backing away from the mercy of God, and then trying to earn our way somehow back into his good graces. Very easy to do after you sin. Very easy to find your place, sacrificing 3 days of relationship until you feel like you've towed the line good enough to come back into a place of communion with God. That's total deception and it's self-righteousness. It's works and it seems like humility to our own minds, but it's false humility. It's actually pride. It's a form of pride. Because instead of entering in through the gospel, through the new living way, through the anchor for our soul, the blood on the mercy seat, we're now entering in through our own good works. Does that make sense? Look like paying penance or something. Get rid of that. Don't do that. It says, confess and is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we're acknowledging our sin. We're not hiding, saying we haven't made a mistake, but we acknowledge to God and we get straight back to believing the gospel because the truth is in Christ. So the point is that this wisdom that's coming is trying to condemn, and it's trying to cheat us out of our reward. It's trying to cheat us out of our inheritance. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head. See, this is the key. It's holding fast to the head. It's the head is Christ. It's holding fast to the head, Jesus, the head of the body. From whom all the body, nourished and knit together by what joints and ligaments... Accidentally quoting Ephesians in my head. Ephesians 4, we'll go there in a minute. Nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So if you're not holding fast to the head, if you're not holding fast to the truth that's in Christ, if you're not reading your Bible to know who you are, to know who God says you are, and to be in this place of growing in my identity, growing in my revelation of righteousness, growing in my revelation of what Christ has done, who I am in Him, then you're not holding fast to the head. And you become a disconnected part of the body. If you're not holding fast to the head, you don't have nourishment to supply to other parts of the body. All you have is the wisdom and counsel of your own mind. It's when we hold fast the head, and when we're all connected to the head, that we can all become a part of the body that has something to give and benefit each other and grow each other. But the increase comes from God. Is that close? Translation, is it pretty close? So the increase is from God. So I want to read a few verses from Ephesians 4 because it is saying exactly the same thing. But I think it's worth it. So we'll just jump in at Ephesians 4 verse 11. It says... I'll start at 11. You might just catch me. I'll just keep going. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. So we're coming into a place where we're all putting our faith in Christ. We're coming into a place where we're coming to know Jesus, the Son of God. We're coming into a place of growing to maturity. It says to a perfect man. Don't let that freak you out. It means mature, of full age, complete. That's what it means. Doesn't mean you never make a mistake. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't know what that means. That's it. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to the level that we can grow to. We're not stopping because we're not there yet. Does that make sense? Like if we're growing to the unity of the faith, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember, this is all written to born again Christians. This is what we're doing. We're growing up into Jesus in all things. What does that look like? Jesus. Are we there yet? No. Do we have permission to stop? No, we press on that we may lay a hold of that for which he laid a hold of us for. So it says to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children. That means babies tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, but in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This is any kind of wisdom that's leading us away and just trying to subvert our faith and just get us stuck in a weird place of, could be false humility, could be legalism, could be works, could just be some other philosophy, could be anything. But the point is, it's not the truth in Christ. It's trying to lead us away. Every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. If you get out a concordance and do a Greek word study on that, it's very nasty, those words. And you'll see it's the same words used to describe Satan in Genesis 3 and in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 3. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, may grow up into him. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So we all have something to bring. We all are a part of the body. But it's only when we're all connected to the head that we actually bring that nourishment. Otherwise, we just effectively become like a cut-off hand lying on the ground, seeing our need for a saviour, and somewhere in our heart we want truth, but we're not seeking him, we're not pursuing him, we're not connected to the head, and we become a lame, we become like a broken foot to the body. Because now it's all about me, I need someone to affirm me, I need somebody to just pay me attention, I need affirmation, because I'm not connected to the head and I'm not grounded in who I am in Christ, and I become lame. And you'll see that in a second. Because the goal of Christianity is love. The goal of Christianity is love. The goal of our instruction is love. What does it look like to grow up into him in all things? Walking in love. As imitators of God, as dear children, chapter 5 says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. That's a big deal. And in Colossians, we'll get to it because it says, above all these things, put on love. So when we're cut off from the source of love and we're in need of love and my cup's not overflowing, and now I'm just, I've taken the name of the Lord in vain in some ways. I might go to church, but because I'm not feeding on what God says about me and filling my heart with the truth, I'm just trying to grope and I'm empty and I'm trying to fill myself up with wrong things. The cares of this life creep in. We've got to be connected to the head. We've got to be growing in truth. We've got to be growing in Christ. And it says, the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So this is the idea for the body, is that we're all bringing something. We are all imparting something to each other. We're all have something to nourish and grow. And it's according to the effective working by which each part does its share, which causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's what I was trying to get to. So back to Colossians. We're holding fast the head from whom all the body is nourished and knit together. I'm in verse 19. With the increase that's from God, okay? And it says, therefore, in light of all that, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, which we read about as well in chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. It says, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. We can spend so much time trying to clean the outside of the cup, trying to do better, trying to, you know, whatever the level of tradition or the level of thing is in our own life. Sometimes it's doing a daily devotion. And if we haven't done our daily devotion, we're feeling like we're not measuring up. And that's a shallow place in Christianity where we are just constantly behaviorally trying to tweak things and change things so that we feel like we're doing better, so that we feel like we're being a better Christian. It says these things have an appearance of wisdom. I'm trying to bring it into a modern day context. It's living legalistically. It's living and taking your own resume of how you're doing, taking your own assessment of how you're doing, and coming up with a negative resume or any resume apart from Christ. The truth's in Christ. So we're not growing in assessing how we're doing. And when we feel like we're doing well, yay! And when we feel like we're not doing well, oh! No, we're growing in the truth that's in Christ. And then we leave behind that religious life. It says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Living legalistically, trying to measure up, just living with a philosophy of how to get through life, all of these things miss the real heart of the problem.
You know, we can assess ourselves psychologically and come up with a list of things we need to work on. But there's only one place where we can actually grow in grace, which is the divine influence on the heart. There's only one place where we can actually be filled with the Spirit and actually be transformed. And that's why we're being warned against just the basic principles of the world, the understanding of philosophy, the study of the nature of reality. We're being warned against going for this kind of wisdom because it doesn't bring grace to the Spirit. What about transformation? What about God making all things new? What about His power working in us that's capable of infinitely more than we can ask or think? We don't want to regulate our lives based on the way that it seems to us. We need to grow in the truth in Christ because He can actually take us way beyond what we think. Way beyond what we think. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, consider Abraham when God called him. He was just one man. And it's saying, look to the rock from which you were cut. So we want to be in this place of humbly growing in Christ until we grow up into Him in all things. This is the pursuit. And even Paul said, I'm not saying that I'm there yet. But there's one thing I do. I forget what lies behind and I press on to what lies ahead. So that's chapter 2. We were dead in the flesh in the uncircumcision of our hearts. Then He made us alive. He cut away our sinful nature. Everything we need to know, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, everything we need to know about ourselves and about God is hidden in the mystery of Christ. And as we grow and we come to the full assurance of understanding, it's going to empower us to live in a whole different way. There's a verse in chapter 1 that I'll just recap on that says, Paul hears about the way that the Colossians are loving each other in the Spirit, the way that they are putting their faith in Christ and they're loving and caring for all the saints. He says, I do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And listen to the purpose of God, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. And it goes on. But the point is, Paul's praying now that they're saved, now that he's seen fruit of the Spirit in their life, he's praying that they would come to an understanding and a revelation of what God's will is for their life. Because only in that place will they be empowered to walk it out. How can you be who you're created to be if you don't know who you're created to be? It's kind of like we've got to see the end goal. And the end goal is growing up into Christ in all things. And what does it look like? Walking in love. It looks like walking in love. I'm going to get into that in chapter 3. But that'll do. So I want to pray for us. Lord, we thank You that you came, Jesus, and the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. You said, I am the light of the world. When you see Me, you see the Father. I came to bear witness to the truth. There was a form of knowledge and truth available through the law. But now you have come. You have come. Truth has come to the earth. And we can see the Father. We can see Your love for us, God. We can see that we're created for purpose. And so, God, I pray that You would help us to sincerely and eagerly seek You and seek to know the truth and seek to know Your will so that we can walk worthy of the calling. Because in Your prayer, Jesus, that You gave to the disciples, You said, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And that's what You want to do in our lives, God. You want Your kingdom, which You've given to us, and Your will to be done in and through our lives. So help us to see You, Jesus, to see Your life, to see the call to follow You and to respond and to seek to be filled with Your wisdom.
And so I pray, God, that you expose by your Spirit any lies, any just wrong thinking, counterproductive thoughts, condemning thoughts, thoughts that are trying to pin our past to us, trying to pin shame to us. Would you expose these lies, God, and would you grow us in the truth that's in Christ? Because our life is hidden in Christ, and we died to this life. So do this in us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.